I was just going to ask you, actually. Although your family didn't seem to have a real strong connection with citrus or the citrus industry, mm-hmm. What were your impressions growing up in a citrus town?
Oh, I thought it was really great because I remember my dad saying that this was the naval capital of the world. And he, working for the city, did go to the citrus areas quite frequently, too. And the emblem that was on the truck, on the city workers' trucks, was that of maple oranges. And, of course, eventually that changed because the trees went with the construction of homes and such. But I really liked it because it was citrus around here. Where I live on Judson and College, it used to be orange groves across the street from us, and that was the reason I did move there, because it was quiet and we didn't have a lot of traffic or anything like that. Then they took those down several years later and put the houses up that are there now. In fact, I came across some pictures of the construction of that too.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Right. Oh, I've got the construction of it, but I think I probably could come up with some pictures that showed the orange groves there, too. Actually, there was a connection with the citrus, too, because my brother used to go filling smudge pots.
No. What was your brother's name?
Carlos Guzman Jr. Uh-huh.
And when did he do his?
He was in high school. Mm-hmm. He graduated in 53, I think. But he used to go smudging all the time. I remember him coming home with all the black on him. I can remember smelling the smudge in the morning, too, when we were growing up. See the smoke? There's that layer of haze. Of course, you know, you always blow your nose the first thing in the morning. Everything that comes out is smudge. You're breathing the sand. You're living with it. But there were so many orange groves that were close by. And my uncle, Joe Munoz, he grew up in Redlands. And he used to be the head gardener for Kimberly Crest. He worked for Mrs. Shirk up there.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And so he worked all the orange groves around there, too.
Yeah. Now this is your uncle, but it's...
He's my mom's sister's husband, my mom's brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's
deceased. Yeah.
Imagine being going back that far back at the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
What about any people that you knew? Did you know people that worked in the groves, worked in packing houses?
Lloyd Yount. I did know him. That's because every day, especially Wednesdays, but every day he would go down to the university ice cream parlor with his wife, and they always had, chocolate soda with chocolate ice cream, and his wife always had a small chocolate sundae with chocolate syrup. And as soon as I saw them come into the driveway at the ice cream parlor, I started it already. I knew exactly they would not change. They did this. It was a ritual every day. Day after day, they had the same thing. They would not change. And if they had friends go in with them, then they stumped me. Yeah, I knew him. He was a nice man, very respectable person. That might have been Rita then.
Yeah, just recently I acquired some other pictures of a marching band actually marching. This one was posed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're actually marching down Colton Avenue. And I was looking at the two, mm-hmm. two pictures to compare to see if I can see any individuals that look similar.
Mm-hmm.
But the outfits are the same, and I'm very, very curious about this. So anything
I'm not sure.
I've known about it or heard about it, it is important. I'm trying to get more information on this band.
Gosh, I'm not sure. I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that they had been marching or anything like that, but I knew that they had the band.
Yeah.
In fact, going to my grandfather's house, he used to have a player piano there too, and so we used to play the piano there and then put the rolls on and pedal so that the music would come out. It was really neat. But he was very musically inclined.
How long did he live on Stewart?
Oh gosh. I'd say most of the married life. He died in 58. So when he died, he did live there.
And I think Rita had mentioned that his brothers had all pitched in, or somebody had pitched in to help build the house.
I hadn't heard
some
that.
Construction. I don't know. I was just kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What now a bit about you. What has been your experience at work or otherwise? What is your experience here?
I worked for the Redlands School District for 20 years as a teacher's aide until we got laid off, which was hard because that was the last thing I ever wanted to do was to work with kids. I hated babysitting. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do all other kinds of things, but I ended up working with kids in the classroom. There got to a point to where I was working with 210 kids a week. Because I was one aide for one track, and they switched me around to all the classes. So I had to work with all of them. I still see a lot of the kids now, even the ones when my first 2 years were at Mentone School. And the kids from then I still see now. Some wait on me at Albertsons, or some of their kids are going to school, which really makes me feel bad. But I still say I loved working with the kids. And I worked at Griswold's because cake decorating was a hobby of mine. But then they hired me there. And then after I got laid off from the school district, I worked at Girard's for just a few months. I didn't have enough hours there, so I just went ahead and quit. And I'd had so many surgeries anyway, so it was kind of like in the way. And then, of course, working at Baker's on Orange Street when it was there, and then working at the ice cream parlor.
You mentioned St. Mary's. Are there any other things, activities, anything that you've been involved with?
I helped with, I was the group leader for Brownies when my kids were in school, and Bluebirds. And I was principal for the CCD at Sacred Heart for a couple of years while my kids were going to CCD there. Brother John and Brother Michael asked if I would do that, and I'd call in the parents of the kids who were absent and things like that. Yes, that's what I thought at the time. Checking up on them, except I didn't walk to their houses. And I was in Girl Scouts myself, too, in Brownies.
And were these troops based out of the school or out of the church?
Out of schools. Mm-hmm. They just recently started a Boy Scout group at St. Mary's. I think it started last year or the year before. And I think that was the first group that they've ever had.
How many children?
I have two. I have Suzanne Marie and Brenda Ann. Susie's last name is Stark now, and Brenda's is Ward. And I have four grandchildren, two grandsons and two granddaughters. And my youngest one is 20 months old, and he had open-heart surgery a year ago this month. Dr. Bailey did open-heart surgery on him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He had two holes in his heart that needed to be sealed. They wouldn't seal on their own. And so he has kind of like an exclamation mark coming down the front of him because he has the line and then the dot where the drain was. He's doing pretty good. He's got a hernia started, though, where the drain was. You can see it starting to protrude. And so they're kind of watching that now.
Yeah.
Real good. And then my granddaughter, Ashley Stark, she's the first altar girl at St. Mary's Church.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's kind of a privilege for her. She kept asking Father Seema, when can I do this? And Father Seema kept saying, patience, Ashley, you have to have patience. And one day she said, Father Seema, when can I be an altar girl? And he says, now, Ashley. And she goes, what? She was shocked. In fact, her birthday was on the 11th, and Father was telling the congregation that she had been there since she'd been serving as an altar girl for 5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, she just loves it.
That's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
So your family's got a pretty deep connection to St. Mary's because Connie.
She plays the organ.
She's the organist there.
Right, and my daughter, Suzanne, she's a CCD teacher now.
Uh-huh.
She was a CCD teacher, I think for a year or two at Sacred Heart for a while before she went to England. And she's the elder server coordinator, too. And my mom, she used to be in, I think it was the Guadalupanas or something, years and years and years ago.
What is that?
That's a Catholic group at St. Mary's.
Okay.
In fact, I think Connie was in it, too, for a while.
Is it like that? What are they
doing? It's kind of like a service club. They help raise money for improvements on the church. Because it's not a real rich church. It's more on the poor side. And so they don't have a whole lot of donations and such, not like Sacred Heart.
Now, I can remember, although I grew up in at a different church, just at the streets, matter of fact, from where St. Mary's was, I can remember the Jamaicas when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Do they still do any activities like that?
They just had a barbecue there this past weekend. And then they had a Jamaica there, I want to say it was in the summertime. I think they had one then. Sometimes they have a barbecue at the park. I don't know if the barbecue was at the park this time or not. I'm not real sure. I forgot all about it. Yeah, they did that. It was so much fun. And Mom and Dad, they always went to this church too, sat in the same pew. Always, I think it was like the sixth pew. So when my mom and dad died, the priest said, well, the pew's empty now because they're both gone.
What do you remember about social life in Redlands? What was there to do when you were a kid, when you were a teenager?
On Tuesdays, we were allowed to go to the Redlands Plunge to go swimming. And before that, we couldn't. My dad said that the Anglos were able to go there all the time. But because that they emptied the plunge out on Tuesday evenings, then the blacks and the Mexicans were allowed to go then because the water would be emptied out. But we could not intermingle. So we knew we could go swimming. And then we had the movie theaters, the Fox. So I love that Fox. It was so pretty in there. And then we had another one that was down on State Street. I can't remember the name of it. There's another theater there. And when they stopped using that, they used it at Christmas time for Santa Claus. Because we'd go in there to see Santa Claus. Yeah. And then we had the roller rink, which was across the street from the Rainbow Theater. And that was really fun. And then we had putt-putt golfing.
Yeah.
Over on Church Street and Colton Avenue. There's a boys' home there right now. I think it's Father Pete's boys' home. There used to be a putt-putt course there.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was fun. We used to go there Friday nights. Yeah. And, of course, we had our regular ice cream parlors and things like that. I remember on Saturday mornings, the Fox used to open up the show to the kids in town, and we didn't have to pay to go in. There was a free show. And so we'd walk down, and my grandfather would meet us at Dolan Rickard. It was a pool hall.
Yeah.
And so we'd go in there, and I can remember as a little kid, he'd lift me up and set me up on the bar, and he'd have a glass of beer there, and I'd be pouring salt into it. He didn't care, because I'd like seeing the bubbles.
Now, where is this at?
That was right. You know where the old shoe shop is? I don't know if they still have that on the corner there.
Yeah, well, on the corner.
It's where that Dance Horizons
right
is,
there. Okay.
Right there.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I remember that place.
Yeah. And then if he wasn't there, we'd meet him at Bank of America, which was down on the next corner on State Street and Orange Street. That was where Bank of America was. And so we'd see him there. And during the week, maybe on Fridays, I'd walk over to my grandfather's when they lived on Stewart Avenue. And my sisters would meet me there when they were coming home from the junior high. And we'd go there. And then there was a store that on Church Street where the overpass is on Church. There was a store that was run by Germans there. A German family. And so my grandfather would give us a nickel or a dime to go spend on the way home. And I think that's probably what we were looking forward to, too. Yeah, he always had Denny Moore stew and those candy gum drops. He always had that. He had a little Charlie McCarthy puppet. And he used to let us play with that all the time. And with my grandmother, I don't have a whole lot of memories. I remember the day that she died, even though I was young. But I remember she didn't like the way my mom combed our hair. And so we went over there. She didn't do our braids, and she'd sit down with one of those thick manila-colored combs that they had back then, and she'd comb our hair, and she'd put some green goop on our hair to make it stay. But there were a lot of fun things to do here, and it didn't cost anything, and yet you really enjoyed it. We used to go down on maybe Friday nights, Saturday nights, and walk through town and look at the store windows without fear of something happening. And those were the days when my parents could trust other people with us, that they knew nobody was going to hurt us.
You had mentioned the segregation of the plunge.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see much of that spilling over into your relationships with kids in school or anything like that?
No, because we were all pretty much natives here, and there were very few black people at the time, which I couldn't understand, too. And it seemed like when we started having the problems, it's when people from out of town were coming in, and it was more like they were instigating. But I didn't see any problems at all. I didn't think that there was, like with a lot of the kids I grew up with, they were Anglos. And I didn't see any prejudice there either. So I think it was probably very much taught to a child.
So more of an institutional thing, mm-hmm. is what I've seen. Did you, I'm familiar with plunge and theater.
Mm-hmm.
Were you exposed to any other incidences or any other places where this occurred?
Segregation or discrimination?
Yeah, discrimination.
As an adult, I think I did. It was back when, I don't know if you remember when they were having all of these slashes with razor blades and stuff like that at the high school. It's been quite a few years now. They said that the Mexican girls are walking around with the razor blades between their fingers and slashing people. It was on television, in fact, too. And I remember there was that fish market or that fish place that was on the boulevard by the high school. I can't remember which one it was.
Fish salt.
Okay. I remember going in there on a Friday night, and there were a lot of Anglos in there, and I walked in, all of a sudden it was like they all separated. And you know, I'm standing there like, you know, what's going on? And people who were ahead of me moved aside so I could go order my food first. And it was like they were afraid of me. I went home, and I mean, it was something that just really brought tears to my eyes because I thought, I never experienced this before here. Not at all.
And this was when?
Oh, gosh. How long have you been out of school now?
I've been out of school since 83.
Uh-huh.
I graduated 83.
It had to be at least, gosh. I can't even estimate. It's got to be at least 20 years, maybe.
Yeah, but it's been fairly recently.
Fairly recently.
Wow.
I think I saw a lot of that, too, in the school district, working with the school district. I see a lot of it there. Where they, a lot of times I didn't feel like they, I don't know whether it's because I was a teacher, so they didn't have the credentials, but I did the work that the teachers did, along with them. And some of the teachers, it was like, they thought that I was stupid or something, or like they shouldn't listen to me. They'd listen, and then all of a sudden they wouldn't react to what I said, and they'd just turn away and continue talking about something else. It was like I wasn't even there.
Yeah, I know and that when I was in school, I don't recall having too many teachers that weren't white.
Mm-hmm.
Working in the district for a long time, and there have been instances of people that I've talked to have reported that they had problems trying to advance within the Redlands School District. Mm-hmm. They could get jobs at one level and not move anymore. What was what's your take on that?
Well, being the teacher's aide, though, there wasn't really a whole lot of room for advancement. Although when we got laid off, even though we had tenure with the school district, we had to start at the bottom if we wanted to continue on working in a different classification. We had to go through the whole thing over again. I felt like we should have been given a little bit of leeway since we had so much experience with it.
Were any of the aides in encouraged to go to school to get credentials? Was that ever part of any kind of program in the district?
I think they only took a certain amount of people to do that, like maybe one or two. Could do it. And when you have like 30 instructional aides, there's not going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be able to do it.
Did you ever perceive any difference? Because there's a rather lively debate over the difference between North Redlands and South Redlands, and there are those that perceive it as being there is no line. What's your perception of
that? I always felt like there's a division there. In fact, there used to be a joke saying that, you know, if you have a group of kids standing together in the north side, it was a gang. If you have them standing on the south side, then it's a club. So that was a distinction. People were afraid of us on the north side, and they literally really didn't want to have that much to do with you either, because they felt like you were lower than they were and not having as much money. But, you know, actually, when I think about it, within my own area on the north side of town, we felt prejudice from the Mexicans there, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Being on Orange Street, that was one of the things. They thought that we were trying to be high-class Mexicans living on Orange Street and trying to be better than the rest of them. Because, you know, like living on 6th Street and Alta and all that. Well, I didn't think anything about it. It was just our whole area. We were just all together. But they thought that since my dad liked not working in the groves, he was a surveyor and worked for the city and had a job like that. They thought we were a bunch of snobs. And that was one reason why my mom dropped out of the club at church, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm, because they treated her differently. But even within that. And then when I was in high school, I got the Frank Araujo scholarship. And I can remember some of the kids at school after I got it, they were spitting on me. And I said, "Why are you doing that?" And they said, "You're trying to act like you're better than the rest of us." And I told them, I said, "If you would have wanted to get a scholarship to go to school, you could have done the same thing that I did." But I felt it even within our own race.
That's also something that I did. I'm glad that you touched on that, because I haven't had, I'm aware of this, but I haven't had anybody really touch on that personally. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much.
I forgot all about it.
Sometimes these things can bring this out.
That's true.
Overall, in spite of whatever problems or concerns you may have had living in this town, your experience here, would you characterize it as a positive experience?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I don't think anything's perfect. And I don't think that the kids I ever had problems with are the same now. I think it was just something at the time that maybe it was a little bit of jealousy, but I felt like I really worked hard for it, and I felt like they could do it too, but I think they got past it, and I got past it too.
Do you recall when, approximately, I don't know the exact date, but approximately when you started seeing some of the legal barriers coming down, like the segregation of the plunge, or seeing, you know, white trade only signs in town and like that? When did that start just kind of winding down?
With the thing with the plunge, though, I guess I just really wasn't aware of it until my dad started talking about it, and then it just kind of like fell into place. And that was as an adult. And then as far as like the people moving when I went into that restaurant, that was, that has to be at least, okay, I'm 53, so it has to be at least 20 years ago, something like that.
So there's still, even from when you're a child up, I mean, there seems to be other patterns that happen. It's very, very interesting to look at that over a period of time. Well, see, I don't have too many more questions other than if you have any other comments or anything we didn't cover, anything you'd like to close with.
I've raised my kids here because I felt like this was a really good town. There's a lot of history in this town. There are a lot of family up at the cemetery. Like when you go in that gate, my grandparents are on the left side as you go in. That was a Catholic section right there. And then on the right, there are a lot more relatives over there, too. And I think Rita's parents are buried on the right side, too, where they have all those headstones there. I think maybe Well, like with my dad, he built himself up. It's just kind of like the Redlands being built up, too. He built up along with it. And he didn't let anything stand in his way. He was a strong man, a quiet man. And I can remember my friend saying, when I'd introduce some new friends to my dad, like Karen that lived across the street from me, Karen Choate, she'd say, don't worry about him. He's a quiet man, but he says, wait till you get to know him, then he's not quite so quiet. He was a good dad. Mom was a good mom, too. Dad, he brought a lot of laughter to the family. Because my mom, she was more the serious type. And so she kept us in tow. And when Dad came home from work, that was it. There was noise in the house. But if I had to do it over again, I'd raise my kids here again.
And it sounds to me like your daughters have decided to make their home here. Mm-hmm.
They have too. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you very, mm-hmm. very much for your time and for these pictures.
Sure.
Some of these, if I can get copies of them,
sure.
Great. And
that's fine.
This has been very, very informative.
Good.
I enjoyed it.
You can let me know whenever you're through with them, and I don't know which ones you want or what.
We'll look at that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.